This is Laura Tallis from Associated Catholic Charities speaking with experts on workforce development for the Mission to Move event. This is the first recording in this series on workforce development, and I hope you enjoy listening while working towards your STEP goals for the week. And joining me to speak about barriers to employment is Nicole Williams, the Program Director of Christopher Place Employment Academy. Thank you for joining me, Nicole.
Thanks, Laura, for the invite. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to join you on the podcast talking about barriers to employment.
Absolutely. So can you tell everyone a little bit about your background in workforce development?
Yes. I have over 10 years working with clients in the workforce development aspect. My previous job, I worked with adolescents, but currently here at Christopher's Place Employment Academy it's close to 3 years. In December, it'll be 3 years that I've been working here, helping the men in the program overcome obstacles to gain employment.
Wonderful. Well, it's great to have you. And I do have a few questions for you. Typically, I hear people ask, why can't you just get a job? And for a lot of people, it's really not that simple. So can you tell us what are some of the major barriers to meaningful and sustainable employment?
Yes. When you look at the barriers, the main things that come up for individuals in the workforce development aspect is lack of job skills, lack of job history, and fear of technology, considering where we are in the world. Pretty much everything is in a virtual world or the use of technology. So we have issues with people not feeling comfortable with getting on the computer. They don't know how to type. They don't know the keyboards, and a lot of our employers want to see stable job histories. And oftentimes now, most applications, paper applications don't exist. A lot of times you go and you see an ad for a job advertisement, and it'll say, hey, go to this website and complete an online application. So for someone who's not familiar with the computer or have a fear or a whole lot of anxiety, they wouldn't be able to apply for the job. Other barriers could be past criminal records, criminal history. A lot of times individuals returning back to the workforce have been incarcerated. They have spent lengthy terms in prison. You know, a lot of them coming back, returning to the workforce development world, they become institutionalized. They don't know how to adapt and survive out here in society. So a lot of times that's a challenge for the men or women returning back to the workforce, because a lot of jobs won't accept people that have criminal backgrounds, as well as people that are leaving incarceration, returning back to the workforce. They don't know how to adapt in the new environment, because if you're coming back from spending 10 years in prison, the world has moved on, and you're coming back to a world that you've only been familiar with 10 years, but the 10 years have passed. So that creates a lot of issues and concerns as well, and becomes a barrier to individuals returning back to be able to gain sustainable employment. Another barrier is a lot of individuals returning back to the workforce is from prison. During the course of their time in prison, they've lost we call it the I-9 documentation, and that consists of like important documentation like their birth certificates, social security cards, state IDs. A lot of individuals coming from incarceration come out with a prison ID. A prison ID is only good for 30 days after they come from prison. So if they don't have the means, the money, or the resources to go to Department of Motor Vehicles and get a Maryland State ID, then that would create another issue for them. Another issue is an addiction history. A lot of people out here in society suffer with the disease of addiction. A lot of people have to be able to maintain their sobriety in order to get a job. Or if they are successful in getting a job, they would have to be able to sustain their sobriety in order to go to work every day. Another barrier to sustainable employment is people returning back to the workforce after being in prison for a long time. It's lack of health care. You know, a lot of individuals may have had pre-existing health conditions when going into prison, and being in prison, they weren't able to get the type of care and treatment that they needed. So a lot of times that they come out, they have some health issues that need to be addressed in order for them to be able to go to work. Another thing is quality of life and stress around health. Health can get in the way of people being able to land a job. In today's society, we have a lot of individuals that suffer with mental health issues that have gone untreated and undiagnosed. So that creates problems that could lead to behavioral issues that will prevent an individual from being able to land a job. Another barrier is lack of transportation. A lot of people don't have cars. A lot of the jobs are not on bus lines, so that doesn't give an individual that don't have a car the means to be able to get to a job. A lot of times people don't have the finances to get on the bus, or the finances to purchase a weekly bus pass or monthly bus pass. So that becomes discouraging as well to an individual coming back. Another barrier to sustainable employment is lack of childcare, lack of affordable childcare. It presents a logistical challenge because parents need to be able to have their kids taken care of so that they can go to work. So that creates a big, big, big barrier for parents to be able to go to work if they don't have anyone to take care of their kids.
Absolutely. I think realizing what these barriers are helps shed light on how our society can improve. So how can we best support those facing these challenges?
That's a great question, Laura. Society can support, the workforce development programs can support individuals returning back to the workforce by providing classes that consist of life skills, resume writing, mock interviewing, success stories, teaching our clients how to go into the workplace and be effective at what they do. And that can look like having classes in communicating, effective communication in the workplace, teaching them introductory computer classes so that they can come familiar with how to operate a computer, having basic typing courses that will help someone get familiar with the keyboard, have professional work dress for success classes to teach them how to professionally dress for work, let them know what's appropriate in the workplace, what's not appropriate in the workplace, as well as time management, helping someone effectively manage their time so that they can be the most productive at work. Other classes can be dealing with difficult people or supervisors. to help the individuals gain job experience, we would basically have to have the individuals be able to communicate effectively, some public speaking classes that'll teach them how to be able to stand in front of a class and hold a conversation in case, you know, they're ever put in a job where they may have to lead a staff meeting. They won't have any fear or any anxiety standing in front of people speaking publicly. Also, the other classes also can be 7 Habits of Highly Effective Individuals. And these classes will help the individual to know what the 7 habits are in order to be effective in the workplace. Another thing, the workforce development programs also tend to have local business partners. That would be great, that can help train clients in specific fields as interns or apprentices, and can sometimes hire clients at the end. You know, we know of some workforce community business partners in the Baltimore area, such as John Hopkins. They have an 89-day training program where they partner with other community partners in the area, and they would give individuals the opportunity after 89-day training program to have them come into certain positions in the hospital. Some of those positions are environmental care positions, floor techs, dietary aides. And we also have another job skills training program called Project Jumpstart that's out here in the Baltimore area. And that's a hard skills training program, apprenticeship certification in the field of construction. Workforce development programs are especially helpful for these situations as they can form partners with local businesses that are aware of the client's record and want to give them a second chance. Classes that specifically help those accident, incarceration, life skills, communications in the workplace, how to deal, have difficult conversations. Also, these workforce development programs also connect clients with case managers. Case managers can help navigate the individuals through their journey to help them to be able to deal with their barriers, to help get rid of their barriers, to help walk someone along, you know, contact the Department of Vital Records so that the individual can get their birth certificate, helping them contact the Social Security Administration to get their Social Security cards, helping them make appointments with the Department of Motor Vehicles to get their driver's license, also helping them to get connected with behavioral health services or someone in the mental health field that can connect them with a clinician that will help them to be able to deal with any barriers to their mental health, as well as allowing them to deal with any long-standing family issues that's never been addressed. It will also help them to stay connected with their family, to help form relationships with their children. A lot of the individuals coming back into the workforce, they have been away from their families for so long that relationships are strained. Also, the case managers can help individuals in the workforce development stage to be able to have someone that they can talk to, that they may be able to share things with. You know, a lot of times people walk around with a lot of things that they don't talk about, so a case manager is very helpful throughout this process.
Absolutely. Thank you. And can you share a success story of someone who has overcome some of these barriers?
Sure, Laura, I can. In our program specifically at Christopher's Place, we've had a gentleman that came to our program like 8 months ago. He was incarcerated for 30 years. And when he came here, when he got released from the Division of Correction, he came straight here. So when he came into our program, he was very anxious, had a lot of anxiety. He didn't know if he was going to be able to do our program, but he has basically engaged in our program. When he came here, he lacked the computer skills. He was afraid of the computer. His temperament was a little different because he had became institutionalized for being in prison so long. He was kind of a shy individual, really didn't want to talk. But being in this program, he was able to learn a lot of things about himself that he didn't know. You know, he was able to engage in the coursework here. He was able to take part in on the computer. We have a software here called Mavis Beacon Teaches Typing, and he was able to get on the computer every day and learn how to type. He was able to go and successfully capstone. He attended our job skills training program, and he was able to land a job. He went into the partnership program with John Hopkins, and he went through the program, the 89-day on the job training program, and he was able to be hired at John Hopkins with only being in that program for 30 days. So today he is a John Hopkins employee and he's doing very well.
That is so wonderful to hear. Well, thank you, Nicole Williams, Program Director at Christopher Place Employment Academy, for telling us more about the barriers around gaining employment. If you would like to hear more about this topic or about senior care, behavioral and mental health, homelessness and poverty, or trauma, Associated Catholic Charities is releasing more recordings this week, so be sure to check them out. Thank you for listening.